Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone here this morning wish they were still in bed? I can imagine some not here, but somebody poking my husband saying, George, I told you we should have gone to the church last night. Well, it's good to see people closer to the front. Last night it was all sort of bad. Gosh, you hear the football game in one of the front seats. But anyway, grace to all of you. You know, while I was shopping in Walmart before Christmas, down in Columbus, I was watching a mom and a dad. Toy aisle, looking for a toy for one of their children. They were walking up and down looking, and finally the father said, "There it is." That's what the wise men probably shouted. Look, there it is. The first reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 2. It's a reading of a sign for Epiphany Day, which was this past Wednesday. And I was told that we're also kind of remembering Epiphany Day here this morning. So that's why Matthew 2 was read to us this morning. There it was, the star that had appeared to them in the east, probably in the area of what we know as today Iraq and Babylon. The star that appeared to these magi appeared again, and it stopped over the house where the child Jesus was. And of course they entered the house, bowed down to worship him, and then opened the gifts that they had brought for him. 2016, it's here already. Well, this is an important election year, isn't it? So many people in our country long and need to hear the same shout, "Look, there it is, there it is." So many in our country, young people, teenagers, young adults, older adults, are looking for leadership. Something to guide them. Maybe you could even say a star to show them the way. The star, of course, is no politician. The star is no TV host. The star seems to have disappeared in our country, but it means because now it's taken on a new form, and that star is you. That star is you. The star of Bethlehem led the wise men to Jesus, and you are now the star that's to lead people to Jesus. Because Jesus really is the answer to the problems we face in our country and our world. Because he is the light of the world. And whoever follows Jesus will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that light is Jesus. If you're following Jesus, you will not walk in darkness. Take a look at these windows here. If the sun was shining out that way, it would really be bright. But you and I, we can see what's there. There, the angel of the women at the open tomb. Here, Jesus praying in Gethsemane. But if you were standing outside, what would you see? Nothing. You couldn't tell what these stained glass windows are all about. that's people living in darkness. They can't see. They don't know about Jesus' reign. They don't know about his resurrection. So the light of the world is Jesus, and whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now Jesus says, you, we, are the light of the world. Is your life a light? Is your life a light that leads troubled and confused people? People who are outside that window and can't see what's inside. Is your life a light for such people? To provide hope, forgiveness, stability, joy? Know that light is you. You are the star. Your dads, your moms, your grandparents, your students, your teachers, your employers, your employees, whatever station or place you find yourself in life, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you know what that's all about, what that's all about, and you believe it, well, you are a star to shine to other people. With your good deeds, with the things that you do and say that bring encouragement, joy, hope to people. And it starts right in your home, doesn't it? Or in school, the place where you work, or in your neighborhood. You and I need to shine like stars. There's something about stars in Philippians chapter 2. Do everything without complaining or arguing. This is Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. Do everything without complaining or arguing. As I was driving up here this morning, I found myself complaining about the weather. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord, that you're watching over me, or I can drive on the snowy roads. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. I'd say our society in many respects is crooked and depraved. Yeah. Now, into this situation, God's word says, you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. That life is Jesus. In your bulletin this morning, the explanation of Matthew chapter 2, what does it say? I'll pick up the one that I've underlined. Could it be living up or lining up your life right now to be a star? Well, could he be, could Christ be, could God be lining up your life right now to be a star for someone else? Think about that. Could God be lining you up, lining up your life right now to be a star for someone else's life? That's a pretty awesome question. We're to shine like stars in the universe. How are you shining like a star? Or is the light of your star hidden in the cloud cover? People really can't see it. If we're shining like stars with the power and power of the Holy Spirit, people will notice a difference. They will. God calls us to make a difference in our lives. So, how is our light shining? the Jews were called to be a light to the Gentiles. In the book of Isaiah, we read that a couple of times, for example, in chapter 49. God says, I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Chapter 42, I will make you a light for the Gentiles. This is what they were called to do. But what was their attitude? What was their attitude toward Gentiles? In Luke chapter 4, we read about Jesus reading from the book of Isaiah in the synagogue in Nazareth. And he was given a scroll, Isaiah's scroll, and he read these words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. This really caught my eye. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. I want to digress just a little bit. We confessed before in the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we read that how Jesus descended to hell to preach to the spirits imprisoned there. And he did that before his resurrection. Now, he went to preach freedom for the prisoners, it says. Well, not necessarily now, but what are you doing now? This isn't in scripture, but I believe he grabbed a set of keys there. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, you read where Jesus says, I have in my possession the keys of death and the grave. I believe Jesus grabbed those keys of death and the grave and opened the prison doors, and he said, come on out! You're free! Your sins are forgiven! Life, eternal life is there for you. Wow, what love. Can you imagine anyone wanting to stay on the outside of those, with those, and not knowing what they really say, how they speak to us? Can you imagine anyone still wanting to sit in prison? No, I don't want to come up. Except, I've opened the doors. Freedom for the prisoners. And without knowing this about Jesus' death and resurrection, he'd still be in prison. But he's opened the doors. He says, come on out. Come on out. What wonderful love. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for your great forgiveness, which enables me, which enables us to get out of the prison of death and damnation and come into your presence looking just like you. Clean, holy, righteous, qualified to enter the heavenly home you have prepared for us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. What magnificent love that the Father showed in opening those prison doors and letting us out. Well, when Jesus read those words, going back to a portion of Luke 4, he sat down. And then he said, well, people said first, but asked him, you know, they were amazed, it says, but someone said, isn't that Joseph's son? He and his father, they put the cupboards in their kitchen. They remodeled their bathroom. And I think that person was, isn't this Joseph's son? That they were thinking this. That how could this local guy be saying such wonderful things? Well, then Jesus said to them, you know, no prophet is really accepted in his own hometown. And then Jesus went on to say, you know, in the days of Elijah, there was a big famine. And God sent Elijah to a widow in Sidon. In Sidon, that was a Gentile area. Not a Jewish area, but a Gentile area. And then he went on to say, in the days of Elisha, there were many lepers in the land, and none were healed, at least none that we know of, except that commander of the army from Syria, named Naaman. Only Naaman was healed. Naaman was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. Well, what was the people's reaction? When the people heard this in the synagogue, they were furious. That's the word used there. They were furious. Jesus, are you saying that God is more concerned about the Gentiles than us? Never. It can't be. What did they want to do? They want to take Jesus outside the town on a high cliff and throw him off, which probably would have killed him. Because Jesus had said this preposterous, absurd thing. What was their attitude toward the Gentiles? It was bad. Even though God had told them, you are to be a light for the Gentiles. Well, what is our attitude toward Gentiles that are still sitting in prison and still living outside these limits and can't see what they say? What is our attitude? Am I, are you concerned about their salvation? A bit closer to home. What about your attitude toward one another here at St. John's? We heard today, read today about Jesus' baptism. Because of baptism, we have been united with Christ, then we take on a whole new identity. We've been identified with Christ. And if I'm not honoring and respecting and loving a fellow baptized member of the church, then I'm not honoring or respecting Christ. So, how is your attitude toward other members of St. John Lutheran Church? And what about other Gentiles who have not yet been baptized and are still sitting in prison and still sitting on the other side of these windows and can't see with their shoulder? What is our attitude for them? Listen. A star has appeared to guide them to Jesus, and that star is you. Say it. That star is me. We really have such an important assignment given to us by the Lord. Shine like stars, to lead others to Jesus, to show other people what Jesus is like, loving, kind, forgiving, joyful. Shine, that star is you. So, push away the clouds of complaining and arguing and indifference, and shine. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit that gives to us as we confess before, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in every follower of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, shine. The star to show the way is you. Well, that's what I've prepared for this morning. And it's really a mouthful, because by the grace of God, I want you to pray for me. I will pray for you, and we will shine together.